Welcome back to Talk Fresh Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan. I'm here with David.
Hello.
Hey, dude.
I'm doing all right.
Oh, I slept until like 2. I feel fantastic.
I assume
you were out late. We were. What I've been calling the Alternative Boys, which is a collection of like creators, photographers, and randos that they know, all decided to go out last night, like a little bit of like long time no see boys night. It was very entertaining. We ended up going to... What is that place called? There's like, you know that wing place? Oh, fuck, dude. Hold on. That does not narrow it down. That does not narrow it down. Sorry, wait. I'm not going to be stupid of it. Hold on. There is a wing place called... Yamachan. Yamachan. Do you know Yamachan?
The name's...
It's
mascot's like...
The mascot is the Japanese salaryman.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. And the whole thing is like they sell like mountains of wings for like very affordable prices. So they do like a you branding yourself up. Is this one? Hold on, that's the mascot. This one.
Yes. Okay. There's
yeah.
Actually one.
In here.
Yeah, kind of close.
Dude, I fucking love Yamachan. I forgot how damn good those wings are. They're so damn delicious, dude.
It's good.
It's so good, yeah. So we went there for like, you know, a little bit of boys' night, a little bit of a catching up, mm-hmm. and a shit ton of wings, dude. They brought out this plate of wings. Shit was stacked, like a falling off the plate type mountain of wings. And all the boys I went for, I'm like, oh, long time we'll see you, communication, having a nice conversation, just like, it's just like tearing. Just tearing apart these fucking wings, dude. That was great. Then after that, we went to this karaoke, of course, because it's a classic.
Of course. Yep.
And then we're in Ueno. And in Ueno, there's like this very interesting like retro game bar. I know, it's very...
I don't go to Ueno because it's so far away.
Neither do I. It's very far from me as well. Like, so yeah. to go all the way to Ueno, I was like, this is like going to be far, but it's for the boys. It's the midpoint. I'll do it, no worries. So I go all the way to Ueno. We go to this retro game bar. It's like the final place for the night. We're gonna hunker down here for a couple hours until like first train and or like walkable distances like come into play. So we're hanging out, and this retro bar, dude, it's pretty fucking sick. It's like all you can drink for I think 1,000 and something yen an hour.
That's far too cheap.
Very cheap. And then there are retro games everywhere.
Okay.
And console setup. It's like do whatever you want. Have a good time. So we're playing like Bomberman. And it's like four of us and the computer, and we are, listen, David, Retro Bomberman on like SNES is maybe the greatest game I've ever played. It is so much fun.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I probably played it.
Oh, yeah. Dude, great game. For like a competitive game, it's very, very fun because you don't need that much. Like, the learning curve's really easy. Mm-hmm. You run around, you drop bombs, you don't get hit by bombs.
It's not
rocket science.
Right.
It's pretty straightforward to like, and you win 3 games, you win the game. You know what I mean? It's a very straightforward game. However, bro, you get so competitive. People are like screaming at each other in this fucking bar, like punching each other in the arm and shit, just being like, you bastard, how dare you? Like running past people, trapping them between bombs and shit. Everyone's like screaming for their lives. Dude, great game.
Did you ever play Bomberman 64? I think that was probably my favorite one.
Yes, dude, I love Bomberman 64.
Yeah.
It's fucking sick game. If you've never played Bomberman, honestly, I think it's like one of those
it's so, did you, man, okay.
Go on.
Did you ever play Bomberman R?
Mm.
Oh.
Bomberman R?
Yeah.
Is it good?
No.
Oh.
No, it is not. I hesitate to even call it Bomberman. Once you see the cover, you'll wonder why.
R. Okay, I'm looking it up now. Bomberman R. Super Bomberman R. Is this it?
Oh, wait, am I thinking of the wrong name?
Is that the online one? Is that the Switch one?
No, hang on. Let me look up. It is not the one I'm thinking of.
No, I think the Switch one is Bomberman R.
Yeah, okay, no. That's the one on the Switch.
Okay, the one on the Switch is pretty good. Like, Super Bomberman R Online, that's pretty good for a Bomberman game. Like, it wasn't bad at all.
That's sorry, go on. Bomberman Act Zero.
Act is... Okay, hold on. Bomberman Act Zero. David, what the fuck is this? This is Resident Evil? What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
No, what the fuck? Okay, guys. If you've never played Bomberman and you're just listening to this, whip out your phones or your computers, search Bomberman, look up the characters, wow, and then immediately search Bomberman Act Zero. It is, I'm getting whiplash on how aggressively this has changed. Like, how do you go from like cutesy, funly drawn, like chibi characters to like, I'm basically angsty Zero Suit Samus.
And
like, the fuck?
And the weirdest part is, it's developed by the same company.
Shut the fuck up, seriously?
Like, Hudson Soft made all the Bomberman games.
Yeah.
They make all the Bomberman games. And they also made this one. So I don't know what the fuck they were smoking that weekend when someone okayed that game, but...
This looks bad.
Oh, it's awful.
Like, this game, you can't play this game, because, like, the way Bomberman works
it has
that...
a Metacritic score of 34 out of 100,
of
so that
does.
Tells you how
But what I'm seeing
it
about this game, you're playing it like, the camera's, like, above your head, basically, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're chasing... The camera's chasing your character from behind. However...
Yeah, it's weird.
Because Bomberman should be played top-down.
Correct.
Because the way it works is that, for those who don't know,
Bomberman is not a third-person shooter.
No, you're in a big grid, and there's like explodable walls and stuff, and some can't be exploded, and you're running around making your bombs like customizable, and you're like getting like more increased firepower, so you can like attack other opponents from different sides of the ring. But you need to be able to see where the bombs are,
right,
so you know how to dodge them, and you need to be able to see like who's dropping bombs where, so you can avoid them. This game, a game like this, you just go like, I'll just put a bomb here.
You can kind of see what's around, but
it's
not
good
really
enough. Like, yes. You're just gonna be running into the fire because you can't see where the bombs are. That's really bad game design.
It's pretty awful. This is the Shadow the Hedgehog of Bomberman. Like, that's literally what it is.
But he has guns, dude. Hell yeah. So
yeah.
So fucking cringe, dude. Let's go. No, terrible game. Awful. But it was good. We ended up drinking at the bar for a while, and then we were like slowly like teetering off. It was good. I decided that because we're in Ueno, everyone's like going home. Some people are gonna stay at the bar and drink more. It's like 3 a.m. and I'm like, my train starts at like 4:30-ish.
Oh, you stayed out all night.
I was out all night, dude.
Oh fuck.
It's like, I know, it was like 3 a.m. and I'm like, it's around midnight, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can rush now and I can get a train to meet Tucker and I can walk home from pretty straightforward, pretty easy.
Sure, yeah.
But I was like, do I want to like be rushing around on like last trains and end up in the middle of nowhere? Or do I just stay out with the boys? It's like, fuck it, I'll stay with the boys.
There's a point where like just staying out is the better option.
No, it is, yeah.
Like, trying to get home might end you getting stuck
somewhere
in between.
Exactly.
And then it's like, well, now I'm halfway home.
Yep.
When I could have stayed out with my friends.
Yes.
So now I'm like,
now I'm just stuck.
Can get home kind of by walk, but.
It's the world, honestly. I've said this before. Like when you're out, if you're going out drinking with the boys, and you're getting close to the last train, and the boys are staying out all night,
you have to make a decision.
Like straight
either
away,
you fuck off, or you stay up all night.
Yeah, you cannot be like wavering. None of this like maybe. Ooh, but I'll stay like 10 more minutes. No. At this stage, where you're saying to yourself, "I'll just stay 10 more minutes," that is where you fucked yourself. Go home or stay out. Mm. There's no in between this one, honestly. Like, so the boys that went home, we like went to went to Yamachan, we got some wings, hung out, big conversations. And then the boys that were going home were like, we're going home. Look, we're going. Bye, guys. We're like, we're going to go karaoke. They're like, no, we're going home. I was like, okay, cool.
It's karaoke open at 3 a.m.?
Oh, this was after Yamachan.
I see.
After the wings karaoke, then the game arcade. But then, like, someone home after that, someone home after karaoke, and then game arcade, we're hanging out, playing some games. It gets like 3 a.m. People are like, okay, it's time to go. Those who are taxiing home are taxiing home. Those who can walk are walking. Those who are staying out are staying out. I'm like, it's time to go home, but it's also time to sober up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And a good sober up walk, I forgot how nice, like an hour and a half walk to like, I was going to like Shinjuku, like a nice hour and a half walk. The weather's pretty good. It's not cold. Like, it's pretty good. Like, you're walking through temples and stuff, like nice parks. You're really sobering up. It was kind of essential after a nice night of drinking. It was good. But yeah, got a nice little walk home, saw some temples, took some like nice night photography, got home at like 6 a.m. like 5 6 a.m good night. I had a good time indeed. It was fun. Oh yeah. How was your week, David? What did you guys do this week?
Well, Fuck, buddy. Oh, I got a job now after a year. So, hang on. Don't be clapping yet.
Cancel that.
We haven't gone to the job yet, but I assume it's gonna be good.
What's the job?
So, it's like a substitute job for a fourth grade homeroom teacher.
Oh, that's fun.
But
it's
not bad, but it's like, but the amount of like classes I have to teach,
yeah,
not like amount of classes, but types of classes I have to teach is way less than the previous job.
Good.
So that's good. I am having to prepare less material.
That's good, yeah.
Which saved my ass.
Yeah, preparing stuff sucks, dude.
Yeah, well, it's especially bad when it's like, okay, tomorrow I have five different subjects. That means I have to prepare five distinct different things, which is really annoying.
Yeah. I remember like talking to one of my favorite homeroom teachers when I was like in elementary school, and I was like, oh, I'm preparing all stuff for English teaching, da, da, da. And I was like, do you want input this like English teaching preparation stuff? And she looks at me and she goes, Jordan, listen, if you can just do it, that'll be great. If you need my help, I can help you. Like, she's like, I've had past teachers, I've had to help them, and that's okay. But she's like, if you can just do it, that'll be sick. And I was like, I'll just do it then. And it's like a month later, I was like, she's like drowning in like papers. She's a massive stack of papers on her desk. And I was like, Sensei, why do you have like 20 like blocks of A4 like paper on your thing, like massive chunks of A4 paper? And she's like, oh, this is my preparation for the week. And I'm like, for what? She's like, every lesson I fucking teach. You
know? Yeah, like, dude, what the fuck? So like, the nice thing, don't have to teach Japanese.
Don't have to
teach math.
Excellent.
Don't have to teach PE. Music, I don't have to do. Like, this is so many. Sorry, a pop-up came up. It's like, do you want to update this thing?
No.
No, fuck off.
Continue.
It's just like, there's a lot that I don't have to teach, which is just, it reduces the, I can spend more time on the stuff I do have to teach.
Exactly,
which
is
nice. It's kind of a weird job because it's like working on an oil rig. It's like 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. It's weird. Yeah,
that's cool.
I don't know. I guess the reason is because of the way that I'm subbing for someone who's on maternity.
That makes sense. Yeah,
the way the Japanese government doles out maternity leave like time is in like 2 week increments.
That's so weird.
So like they're like, come in for 2 weeks, then we'll see what happens on the next weeks. Don't, then we won't. But you're guaranteed the next 2 weeks after
those 2 weeks. So that's pretty good. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's nice, right? Because like that gives me time to like, okay, after those 2 weeks, where did I finish? What are they going to learn in those 2 weeks? And then I can prepare during those 2 weeks for the next two ones, and then like I can just go in. And I don't have any prep.
That's
right?
Really fucking. That's actually pretty decent. So you can like teach 2 weeks. Those first 2 weeks going to be annoying because you're going to be like catching up with like preparation and stuff.
Yeah, we won't.
So you smash that, but then after that, you're pretty much in the clear. You spend the first, day or two of your 2 weeks of like not working, preparing. And then you have like a week and a half, like 2 weeks, like hang out basically.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
Freelance stuff, hobby stuff.
Yep. That's really good. And I get a day rate, which is nice.
Ooh, day rates are good. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really good, dude.
So we'll see.
Good man. Fuck
plus,
yeah,
it might parlay into an actual, because like obviously the person is like gonna have to take care of a child after they're born.
Exactly. Yeah.
It might end up being a more permanent position than I think it is. So like, things are
curious about.
Up.
Is it a school or an international
school? Yeah, it's a school.
Ah, fuck, that's pretty good. Okay, in that case, it'll probably end up like
parlaying. Yeah, no, I'm not. Job. Not going back to teaching English unless it's English language arts.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I feel like anyone coming to Japan doing like straight AOT work, just teaching, once you get out of that, it's very difficult to like go back into it. Like
especially considering the amount paid.
Oh yeah. Oh my god. Yeah.
I think excellent. Like for a day, I teach 4 to 5 classes.
Pretty good.
And I get paid $150 a day, something like that.
That's pretty decent. That's a better day rate than AOT's work.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean, right? Yeah. So obviously, I'm not working during those other 2 weeks off, but
it doesn't matter. It gives you time to like do freelance stuff and other things. Yeah, it's fine. Did you hear about the like student finance basically lowered the threshold of payment? Lowered the threshold of how much money you're earning before you have to start paying back the student loan to the government in the UK. That's like a UK thing.
Actually, I have heard of this because Chihiro was talking about it because she has students who are going overseas to go to university.
Yep. So. Dude, it fucking sucks. I found this one. Basically, this is very important for those like coming into Japan. So if you come to Japan from the UK, especially, and you want to be an English teacher here, you're kind of fucked. Because in the past, what happens is that your base salary was lower than the threshold for paying back the student finance, basically, which it was £27,000, basically. And now they've lowered it to £21,000, which means when you come to Japan, you start working as an English teacher, you're just above the threshold where you're going to have to start paying back student finance the second you get here. And the problem with that is you're going to be broke as shit. Like, the only reason
you're an AOT.
Yeah, you're an AOT.
You're broke as shit anyway.
Exactly. You're going to be broke as shit anyway, but then now you're going to have the government like asking you for what? An extra like 20 quid a week. Like, that 20 quid goes a long fucking way, especially now considering the Japanese yen is so dog shit. Like, it's honestly...
You're
like,
making less and paying more.
Yep. Back to the government. It's honestly pretty awful. I'm kind of worried about people coming to work in Japan now and like how they're going to actually like live and work here on the salary. I don't think coming to Japan as an AOT from the UK especially is a viable option anymore. Like, honestly, like, if you have to pay about student finance the second you get here, it's not viable. You want me to live on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's really bad for them. So I basically tweeted like, hey, like, for those who don't know, like, the student finance repayments thing, I like changed the repayment system, so it's like from like next month from April 2024, it's like going down, basically. And I tweeted it because I was talking to people from student finance. I was basically like, hey, you sent me this random email saying I'm going to start paying stuff back from this date. Why is it suddenly changed? Like, nothing on my end has changed. And they go, oh yeah, nothing on your end has changed, but we've lowered the threshold. And I'm like, okay, when are you going to announce that? Because you've not had any announcements about this. You're sending me an email, but I spoke to Jay. You didn't send Jay anything. You've only sent me something because of the amount of times I complained about it to you guys.
Right.
Like, I had to threaten like lawsuits on these people. Because the amount of times like they fuck up my payments, like it got annoying. It's like, it got so annoying that I basically said to them, like, listen, any changes to my account, email me. Don't send me a letter, because whatever letters you're sending don't come through for some reason. So email me any change you're making to my account. That's why I get the emails in like every single time. So I was saying to them basically like, what am I meant to do here then? Like, when are you gonna make the announcement that it's going the threshold is decreasing? You know what they said to me? I got it right here. They go, don't worry, we're going to have an announcement April 2024. That's when they're publicizing it.
About what?
About the fact that the threshold is lowering. They're going to make it public on April 2024. And okay, if you fall below that threshold, you know when you have to start paying it back?
Immediately.
Immediately, April
2024. Immediately.
Fucking immediately.
Always,
Always, April 2024. Yeah. What dickheads? What absolute dickheads. Imagine, like...
I'm not at all surprised by that, of
neither
course.
Neither am I.
Like... Schools are dicks.
Honestly, worst. I'm so annoyed that young me went through like student loan repayments, because like they're actually like.
I'm glad I didn't have to go through student loan repayments.
I had no other choice. Honestly, it's that or don't go to university. Basically,
yeah.
Like I know.
I got lucky. I got a free ride
because
someone, my aunt set me up. Like, she's like, when I was born, she put money in like an account to collect interest.
Yeah,
that's until I was like 20 or something, and then it's like locked, right? Like,
yeah,
you can't
access
it. You can only put money in, you can't take
money out. Yeah.
And then by the time I got to being 20, I was like, okay, I want to go to university. She's like, cool, here's all this money that I put away for you when you were a baby.
Pretty good.
No one else in my family got it, so I was
seriously
lucky, because I was the first.
Dude, so. That's sick. I want to do that. I kind of want to do that.
Anyone after me went to university anyway,
I mean,
so good call on that one.
Honey rolled this fucking dice, dude. It was like, I'm gambling everything on the first child, and that's it.
Yep.
Legend, dude. I kind of want to do that. I might do that with my, if I ever have children, I'm going to do that. But like nieces and nephews, I think that would be fun to do for like nieces and nephews as well. Just like start.
And just hope they're not fuck ups.
Dude. Imagine you save like £50,000.
Right.
You're like, oh, I've saved £50,000 to give to, I don't know, my niece or
whoever,
nephew or whatever.
Yeah.
And go to the mother, like, I've got your child, £50,000 for university. He's like, oh no, they've decided that they're going to be a drug dealer. And I'm like, well,
great. Excellent.
What I do with this, what I do is money, and I'm going to give it to them now. Like, fuck, dude. Sucks. Especially if the account's in the name. You're just like, fuck. What a
waste. At that point, you're just like, well, yeah. It's not my money anymore. Mm. Shit.
Well, I think I'll just end up, I would just hold the money indefinitely until they get their life together.
Or don't.
Then I'll just hold it forever and then I'll give it to charity. I'll be like, well, your life's kind of fucked up. I don't really want to give you 50,000 fucking t-shirts for you to waste. Absolute fucking pain. But yeah, it's definitely something to look into for like future kids or like relations. Anyway, glad your week's going fine, David. I want to make an announcement about student finance. You want to talk about...
You brought some stories here.
I did.
Or not? It's just stories like you're going to spin me a fucking tale of Momotaro or some shit.
Going to spin this man a fucking yarn right here.
News stories.
Do you want to talk about the one thing that's on the forefront of everyone's mind? Everyone's favorite streamer. Everyone's favorite content creator.
Oh, we're
going to
start there? Okay,
sure.
Let's start
there.
We'll start
at everyone's favorite content
creator. It's funny
creator.
Because I did watch that video you sent me, so I am
it?
Up to date on,
fantastic.
On what's going on. But let me go back to things so I can open.
Yeah. So,
I guess you don't need to open it. I saw the video.
I'll preamble. Everyone's favorite content creator, especially if you're based here in glorious Nippon, Johnny Somali, has been released from prison to resounding sighs, I assume. Everyone
collectively sucked through their teeth.
So that was a whole of Japan at the same time. Mm-hmm. So he's released from a...
I couldn't breathe for 5 seconds. He sucked all the air out.
Sucked all the fucking air out. I was choking last night. I was like, God damn, what's going on here? Yeah. So like, Dick has released from prison. For those who remember his trial, he got on his hands and knees and he apologized and he said to the Japanese courts, guys, listen, I solemnly swear, I pinky swear, and I cross my heart, hope to die, I will never do streaming
ever again.
I have learned, never, ever. I've learned my lesson. I'll never stream again. You won't catch me near a camera. I'm going to live like the Amish, basically. Mm-hmm. Mark my words. Shook hands and he paid the $22 fine or whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't that much. It was like
$2,000 or something. Bullshit amount it was. And then he was released from prison. They gave him a slap across the fucking head and said, get out of here, you scamp. And he did. You know, and he lived happily ever after on a farm and he never streamed again.
Yeah, it's great to see that. Yeah. He's turned a
new
leaf.
Yep.
I mean, he's only got reported on because it's like, okay, well, like, what happened to, like, you know, this is kind of like one of those, you come back to it and it goes like, you know, where are they now? Right?
Where are they
like
now, dude? It's amazing. It turns out, you know, he's still a massive cunt. Turns out he's still massive dickhead. Turns out, him crossing his fucking heart and hoping to die and promising he's not going to stream again.
Unfortunately, out, didn't die.
Garth, shocking lie, he's streaming again. What a fucking dickhead.
Go figure.
Go fucking figure. Yeah. So he left the country, went to Israel, I believe. Israel, a lot of this, I know, of all fucking places. He was in another country first. I forgot where he was initially. And he was streaming on Kick.
It was somewhere in the Middle
East. Somewhere in the Middle East, yeah. And he's streaming on Kick and he's basically saying, I'm going to go to Korea and try to slap one of the members of BTS.
Yes.
What a fucking stupid thing to even say. What an idiot. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we're all going to roll up together and we're going to go to Korea and slap a member of BTS.
Why?
Why? What's wrong with you? Fuck are you doing? So he's still on, he's on his old shit. Mm-hmm. Nothing has changed. All over again.
Yeah, immediately. It wasn't even like, oh, I'm going to show up and I'm going to do a stream.
Yeah.
And we're going to go around. It's going to be nice. And I've changed my ways.
Yep.
No, it's like, oh, I am still a maximum level cunt. And clearly, Japanese prison did nothing.
Nothing. Whatever the punishment he had in prison, clearly was not harsh enough.
Yep.
Because he's out on the streets fucking around all over again.
Mm-hmm.
God, I hate this guy. So stressful. So,
but
I
think he's found out
that
other places aren't Japan.
Here it is. Yes, exactly. So he was fucking around in somewhere in the Middle East. He was talking all this big game about like slapping the Korean celebrities and blah, blah, blah. And then he realized he can't do that because obviously these guys are famous. How are you going to get close to them?
Yeah.
Use your fucking brain. So he goes to Israel.
Mm. For some reason.
Who knows why. And he decides, I'm going to be a menace in Israel. And he starts doing his exact same thing he was doing in Japan, but in Israel.
Yeah.
So he's like blasting music from his speakers and doing inappropriate shit and calling people like racial slurs and like getting into confrontation on the streets, blah, blah, blah. The only difference here is, unlike Japan, where people are more, less inclined, I should say, less inclined to get into physical confrontations.
Yes.
It takes a long time for people in Japan to be like, okay, we're sick of you. We're going to start throwing some hands, you know? Israel ain't like that, clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people who are living in Israel are like, no, 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 no. First night you're here and you're fucking around, it's on site.
Yep.
So it's like a big stream he was doing on, I believe, Rumble, because the initial stream he was doing on Kick got him, his account suspended.
So he was streaming on Kick.
Yeah.
He did some shit.
Yeah.
He got beat up.
Excellent.
Or like attacked or jumped or whatever. I don't know what happened. Then he got banned on Kick.
On Kick. Like a week.
So then we'll see what happens.
Mm.
But then he started streaming on Rumble and immediately got banned again.
Yep. Go figure.
Yep.
Then he streamed on something else because he was like streaming. I think he was streaming on Rumble for a while before he got banned. Because he was streaming for a couple of days. For the entirety of the evening, basically. And he was like getting into fights, getting people arrested and such.
Yep.
There was a confrontation where basically he's walking into groups and like shoving people and basically being like, pretend he's like a hard man. He's being like, oh, you fucking don't touch me. Oh, you're trying to press me. How dare you? Oh, you don't know who the fuck I am. I can buy and sell you. You know, he's giving you all, like, giving all
Johnny
this.
Johnny Somali would fold like paper.
He would fold under a
Johnny Origami.
Breeze. Bro. Fucking got him. He had been. The entire thing was him like hyping the situation for like the content, and then nothing would come of it. And then someone would like beat him up, like punch him, and he'd be like, oh, I'm getting pressed. Got to turn off stream real quickly. And he'd run into the little corner, basically. So that was his entire stream. It was basically him like running around Israel, being a menace, getting people's nerves, causing fights, like, you know, classic stuff. But the end of the stream is possibly
the last one he had.
Yeah.
Right.
And the last stream he's had until this day was probably the greatest thing ever recorded. The man is walking home from a night of just being the most annoying creature on the planet.
Yep.
And he's like, phew, good night, guys. Had a good night of being an absolute stain on society. Can't wait to go home. Just back to the hotel and do it all over again the next night. And as he's talking to the camera, out from out of the camera's view, just fist come flying in.
Well, he's like looking at the camera.
Yeah, he's looking at the camera.
And he turns his head left and he goes, Oh shit. And then it just cuts.
Just like instantly cuts. Because someone is like beating him the fuck up. And apparently after that, he messages his Discord.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm fine. I'm fine, guys. But he clearly isn't fine. He clearly got his shit rocked.
Yeah.
Because he's not streamed since then.
Right.
I think after that, then he got perhaps banned on Rumble.
Yeah.
Sure. Got to check that. But yeah. That was his night streaming in Israel.
You know, it's only a matter of time before someone just pulls a fucking blicky on him.
Honestly,
And then
it just ends it.
And then that's the end of that, right?
Yeah. Honestly, he's fucking around with things he doesn't understand. Like he needs to realize that, yeah, he came to Japan, he fucked around here a lot. Mm-hmm. Once again, physical confrontations, it takes a lot for Japanese people or people living in Japan to like get involved in a physical confrontation just because it's a lot in Japan. You don't want police involvement. It's going to be an issue. The paperwork, the bureaucracy. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to tell you to stop. We're going to be like, hey, relax, chill, get your shit together. But no one's going to throw hands until you take it too far.
Right.
And he was here and he was back and he's here and he's back. Now he's banned from Japan. He can't go to Japan. He's like blacklisted from the country, basically. So now he's going to other places with the same shtick. But the problem is other places don't, you know, have that same patience that Japan has. And it's only going to be a matter of time before, like, gets into like not real trouble, but like he legitimately gets himself killed. Like
100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, oh yeah. Like I do think that it is going to be only a matter of time where someone either pulls a gun, and fucking aerates him,
or just ends him,
or pulls a knife.
Oh yeah,
and fucking turns him into sashimi.
Oh yeah, very easily as well.
Yeah,
I think the big problem he's facing now is that his audience is kind of addicted to that type of content he's making.
Yeah.
Like, they're watching his content for this book. They're watching it for the whole, oh my God, what crazy thing's gonna happen today?
Right, yeah. They're kind of, like, with morbid curiosity waiting to see, like, if he's gonna get got, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Like, they're watching it because like it is, it's wow, fun and outrageous, crazy content.
Right? Yeah, they don't care what he's actually doing. No. Like realistically, but like,
no, of course yeah. not. But the issue is because that's the content he has managed to farm audience off.
Right.
He's kind of like typecast himself to that content.
Right.
Even if he pivots and he's like, okay, I'm now going to do like, I don't know, unboxing videos. No one's going to give a shit because your audience isn't there for that. Your audience is there to watch you on the streets of whatever country you're in being a massive problem, basically. So like, because of that alone, he's fucked.
Right.
He's only two options. One is like, stop streaming, mm-hmm. hide somewhere, get a normal fucking job, and hope to fuck no, people forget your name in like right. 5-10 years. That's what I would do. If I was him and I got myself into this fucking insane situation, I'm ghosting from the internet for at least a year. You'd not see, probably longer. You'd never see me again.
I think the funny thing too is like, of all the places you could have picked,
yeah,
Israel is not
Israel.
One.
Mm-hmm.
Israel.
Mm.
Maybe not the best place. Two, I don't know if you've checked in a while. You're black.
You're black.
Israel. Is probably not
the best.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know what racial relations are with the other countries in the Arab world, but I'm going to assume that Israel probably doesn't like you. Not to say that Israelis are racist, but
there's a lot going on there. David, listen. Perhaps you missed this part of the video. Maybe you saw it.
Maybe. I might have missed it.
There's a part of the video where basically he decides that he's in Israel.
Mm.
So he's like, I'm in Israel. What should I do in Israel? Uh-huh. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on right now in Israel.
Yeah.
It's a big, like, you know what's happening. We don't spell it out. Yeah. Lots of going on the world right now. What should I do to, you know, to raise awareness for the situation? And he decided,
you support Hamas.
Ooh, worse.
Mm.
Ooh, worse. He pissed off so many. He decides, I'm going to join Judaism. Sweet. He joined Judaism. He did the whole religion, got the whole like thing on his arm.
Yeah.
The whole
brain
to join. And then he joined Islam.
Hmm. They'll just take anyone, won't they?
What do we do? I mean, anyone can join. But like, legitimately, the fuck? You're joining, do you not realize what's going on right now? And you're just pissing off like both like ends of the spectrum. Like, what is wrong with you, my guy? So yeah, that's what he did. He like joined both like on stream. People like lolling in the chat, like, oh, so funny, he's doing both. Mm-hmm. And it's like, bro, it's a massive joke to this guy. Like, you are,
like
people,
I said,
people take this shit seriously. Like, don't fuck with people's religion.
Yeah,
dude. What's
wrong
with you?
That's something where I'm like,
mm-hmm.
You can be annoying and whatever, but like, there is something about religious fanaticism that goes beyond the logical.
Yes.
And that's where you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, don't fuck with that. Mom's a priest. She's a pastor, you know? She works for a church. I was raised in the church. I've seen some shit. And how deep the rabbit hole goes, leave these people alone.
You only need one psychopath, dude.
And there's more than one in these
places.
Yeah.
There's more.
Listen.
There's more than one.
If I'm like some kind of like religious fanatic and I see this guy joining like my religion and then a religion that, it's supposed like the counter of my religion or whatever.
As a joke.
We're fighting. Like that's it. It's mm-hmm. on site. You're insane. What are you doing? How you take my beliefs as a joke? It's crazy.
Right.
You know, he's done. He's over. I won't be surprised if we don't see him for a while online and then he's gonna come back and do it all over again. Because from what we've learned, he doesn't learn.
Right.
He's not gonna learn until I assume he's dead or he's like incapacitated, basically.
I think the hilarious irony of like getting paralyzed would be like that.
That's pretty good.
That would be like, you're not just gone.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You have to live out your days. Like,
I think he needs a stronger prison. I think Japanese prison wasn't.
I mean, I think Japanese prison probably was enough.
Mm.
But the problem is they didn't keep him there.
Yes. They should have kept him there for longer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a harsher sentence.
Harsher sentence.
Bigger fine. Because all he got really was a slap on the wrist.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Literally,
he's out.
Exhibit A.
Exhibit A. He's out. He's out and doing stuff again.
Yeah.
Clearly, prison sentence too light. Fine, not harsh enough. I don't know why Japan decided that they were going to give him like a slap on the wrist instead of like an actual like punishment.
Boomers don't know shit.
That's true, yeah. I can imagine the judge being like, well, he did say, I guess we got to let him off the fucking hook, you know?
Yeah.
You know the old fucking chestnut. But yeah, I'm glad he, not glad he's back out.
We'll see how the story develops.
I'm kind of interested to see what he's going to do next and like what the repercussions of his actions will be. He's currently in Israel still, so hopefully the Israeli police decide to arrest him.
Yeah. I can't. I mean, if Israel's actions in the past, like, couple of years have been any indication as to what they think of ne'er-do-wells.
Ne'er-do-wells?
Yeah. That might not be a good idea.
Kind of. I don't feel bad for him, but I do feel like this is not.
I also don't think it's good to fuck around in a country that has mandatory military service.
Yeah, don't do that.
Everyone, because that means anyone from the age, like, 18 to 25 has been in the military.
They can all... And clearly they have hands to throw as well.
Right.
Because he was getting beat up constantly on stream.
Yep.
It was a marvel to behold, honestly. Like, I thought the same thing about Korea. Like, when he was like, I'm going to go to Korea and slap a TS member. I'm like, bro, you know they serve in the military. Like, all of them. Like, they may not be jacked, but they can fight. They can defend themselves. Like,
right.
It's not a walk in the park. It's military
service. I mean, they've had more training than you have. Very
exactly.
Clearly.
Exactly. Yeah.
You seem to be going like 0-10 for getting your ass beat.
Bro, man can't win a single fucking fight.
No, he has not won a single fight. In fact, he's lost most of them in one punch.
In one punch, or sometimes less. Surprisingly, what a fucking noodle. Man's a wet noodle of a human. Yeah. Honestly, I'm very glad to see him getting his comeuppance in Israel. Ah, bad. Anyway, as Johnny Somali, hate this guy. I wish him nothing but the worst. Do you want to talk about ramen in Japan?
Sure. Let's do it. I don't eat it, but you sure?
I don't eat ramen either. But I found the funniest story. I thought was really entertaining.
Okay.
Cracked my leg just then. Basically, for those who know, ramen is like a really popular dish in Japan. Some would say it's up there with like sushi when it comes to a national dish, right? Like, it's pretty
popular.
I
mean, like, you ask anyone outside of Japan, like, what's Japanese? If it's not sushi,
it's ramen. Do you even like ramen?
Not really. Because
It's okay. Okay, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Okay, let's go. Okay. Yeah. Go on.
Ramen.
Go off,
but
King.
Here's my biggest problem with fucking ramen, right? They never give you enough noodles with the fucking ramen.
They don't, no.
Ever.
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 You got to get an extra dose every time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every fucking time.
It drives me up the fucking wall. Because it's like, I eat ramen.
Yeah.
And then I'm done. Mm. And then the bowl is just like half full of broth. And it's like, well, I could drink it, but like.
I don't want to.
I don't want to. I want noodles, damn it. Like,
yeah.
I wish you could have ramen like you get somen, right? Where you just have the noodles and you just like, and just keep going, right? Oh, but they don't have that.
Good. No. Yeah, where's my Wanko ramen, dude? I would wreck that.
Yeah, there's like that's my biggest issue with ramen. It's nothing to do with the flavors, nothing to do with the taste, it's nothing to do with the oiliness. It is literally the amount of noodles.
And
I assume that there are probably ramen places that have more noodles in the thing and they're perfectly fine, but every time I've been to a place, that's not been the case.
Nah, it's always like your noodles like a set amount and then you have like a shit ton of toppings.
Yeah.
I want more noodles.
Want more noodles. You could put no toppings on it. That's what the broth is for, bro.
Yeah, I'll write that. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Like, my problem with no ramen is that I'll eat ramen maybe twice a year.
Correct.
Maybe three times a year.
And we've already done it this year when we went out the other
month. We did. We did. That was my one. That was my one, and I have, like, two left for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and since we had it that one time, I was like, I not only don't crave ramen, mm-hmm. I don't want to eat ramen. I'm never thinking about ramen. Like, I've a ton of like really good, highly rated ramen places near my house. Not even tempted.
Yeah.
Not once.
Nah,
it's just not something I really eat often. One, I find it too heavy. I find it too oily. I find it too, what's the word? It's like too fatty. In the worst possible ways. Like if I eat myself a big old bowl of ramen,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, oh, great bowl of ramen. Had a good time there. And then an hour later, I'm like, I'm going to shit myself. I'm actually going to fucking shit myself. This is.
I'm going to make my own noodle.
Bro, this is not a drill.
Yeah.
Get me the fuck home. This
is
terrible. I 100%
exactly know what you're talking about.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every fucking, sorry to be vulgar listeners, but every fucking time I give myself a bowl of ramen, I'm like, guys, T-minus 3 hours until I shit myself. All right? This shit is not going to stay. It's too greasy. It's too much. I don't like it. Like, it is what it is. But seems that the Michelin star guide has also clocked on to the secrets of our hatred of ramen.
That it's bad?
That is okay, but it's not worth Michelin stars. So, like, Tokyo has three Michelin star ramen restaurants. Do they? No anymore.
Yeah, they took away some of them. I remember hearing about this recently.
Bro, they took away all of them.
All of them? So there's none that have Michelin stars anymore?
I believe they've taken away all of them. So, like, in the past, Tokyo had three. Sheesh. I know. They had three ramen restaurants. They're really affordable. 1,000 yen per, like, a bowl of ramen. And it was Tatsu in Tokyo. It's, like, the first one to get a Michelin star.
Yeah.
And it was Nakidu, which was, like, 2017.
Nakidu?
Nakidu.
Nakiryu.
Nakiryu. Go on, Nakiryu. And they won in 27. Then it was reading Japanese in Nomaji is such a fucking pain in the ass. Then it was Konjiki Hototo Gisu in 2019. It's actually, look how long the name is. In the red.
Konjiki Hototo Gisu.
Great. Honestly, great name. Best name.
I love cognac hot geese.
Bro, I love fucking it's cognac. Let's go. And that was in Ginza. And also got a star. So these ramen places are pretty good. Like, obviously very famous. Everyone likes them. Blah, blah, blah. They look like ramen.
Yeah.
Like, going through the images, I'm like, yep, that's a bowl. Look at that. That's Michelin star ramen.
It looks like ramen.
It looks like ramen. It's a bowl of ramen. And it appears that the Michelin star guy had also clocked onto the fact that it's just ramen.
It's just ramen, yeah.
They took away the Michelin star.
Never again.
That's so such a piss take. Let me find the article for you. So the article reads that Tokyo's three Michelin-starred ramen restaurants all lost their stars in the 2014 guide. Okay. That means there are currently no Michelin-starred ramen in Tokyo, or the world, for that matter. And you know what? I agree. I'm sorry. I agree. No matter how good a bowl of ramen is, it's just a bowl of ramen. As good as it is, I'm not going to be like, wow, that's a Michelin star. No, it's a good bowl of ramen. But that's all it is. You know what I mean? Go on.
I'm just thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, ramen is good.
It's great.
I think everyone everywhere can agree that ramen is good just in general.
Yeah,
like, you could find a ramen that you like. Ramen in general is good.
Yep.
I don't think,
And
maybe this is just me.
I can hear the pitchforks being sharpened. Yeah. Continue.
I don't think that ramen is ever great.
Agreed.
Ramen is just
agreed.
Good.
Agreed.
It's not bad.
No, it's not bad. It's just good.
It's just good.
It's good.
But it's not great.
No.
And it's definitely not exceptional
in
the way other meals that I've had have been.
Agreed. I've been to some ramen places in like Fukuoka. Kyushu has some fucking delicious ramen.
Mm-hmm.
Back in, like, I'm traveling around to all places in Japan, like Rugakusei Days, Jordan. Well, I guess Sotsugo Ramen, like my graduation trip after that. I went to Kyushu and I was like, I got to try all the ramen. Went to Kumamoto, ate the ramen there. Do you know what? Delicious. Went to Fukuoka, ate the ramen there. Do you know what? Also delicious. Oitabeppu, great good ramen.
Yep.
Pretty good ramen. Had a great time there. Delicious ramen. Would I go back? Do I remember what the ramen tastes like? No. Do I remember the look of the ramen? Kind of.
It probably looked like ramen.
Probably looked like ramen. It was fine. It was good. Would I eat it again? Yeah, if I was in the area and I was right. hungry for some ramen. But when it comes down to it, I'm not going to travel there again
to eat
the ramen. However, there's a store in like Chiba and they sell like local ingredients. It's a restaurant. They sell like dishes made from like local ingredients, stuff like that. It's in Chiba. I hate Chiba. God hates Chiba. That's why all the national results. All the national results happen in Chiba. I went there years ago, like 3 years ago.
Mm.
I still remember every fucking dish they served and how they tasted. That place was delicious. That place was amazing. It was a little store. It was only like a little stop on the way to like doing other things in the evening, but it was fantastic. And that place doesn't have a Michelin star.
Mm-hmm.
So if that place doesn't have a Michelin star,
yeah,
there's no fucking way you could be like, oh, these ramen places get Michelin stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the Michelin star guide type thing is a little bit weird. In the fact that the Michelin star guide can only rank what it's been to, right?
Yes.
Meaning it can't go to every single restaurant
exactly.
for every type of food in Tokyo, let alone the entire country, right?
Mm.
So you're trying to like aggregate a already small amount of restaurants. Mm. And then even then, the Michelin guide always seems to like favor what I would call fine dining.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Fancy food.
Loves fine dining.
Listen. Yeah.
I know you're giving this. It's not worth it.
Fine dining is a scam.
It's a scam.
It's 100% a scam.
100% is a scam.
I do not care what anyone says. Like, there's people like, oh, you can't, you're fucking broke. You can't afford it. Oh, it's like, no, it tastes like shit.
Yeah.
Actually, no. It usually tastes pretty good. But it's way too fucking expensive. Yes. And there's not enough of it.
No.
Bitch, I'm going to a restaurant to eat.
I want
to
be
not
full.
To snack.
Mm. Nothing's worse than going to a restaurant, like getting a nice meal and being like, why am I still hungry? I now have to spend more money to go to KFC.
If my meal costs more than fast food and I leave hungry,
it's not good.
You fucked up.
You messed up.
You fucked up.
When it comes down, the experience is important. The experience is important.
Sure.
The ambiance, okay, essential. Okay. We like that. We like a good store with a nice amount of ambiance. We like a good meal, you know? But when it comes down to it, why am I here in this restaurant?
Yeah.
For the ambiance? No, don't be stupid. I can't get full on ambiance. I'm here for a meal. The purpose of me coming to this restaurant is to get full on the food you're serving. If I leave hungry, you failed.
Here's a perfect example, right?
Go on.
Okay. There's an Italian place that is right close to my station.
Excellent.
And me and my wife went there for dinner one time.
Yeah.
And we ordered like, what was it? We ordered like caprese, two pizzas.
Yeah.
Like two like Italian style pizzas. And then some kind of like a pasta or something. I forget what it was. And at the end of the meal, we're like, wow, that was good. Like it tasted great.
Mm.
We're full. Mm. We're happy. Bill comes. The bill is like less than Domino's like delivery pizza to your house.
Shut the fuck up.
And I'm like, yes, okay, you figured it out. You've made food that is better than delivery, cheaper than delivery.
Excellent.
And it's
way better.
Way better.
Way better.
You figured it out. I will always, if you give me the option, like, do you want fast food delivered to the house or go out to the restaurant? I will choose the restaurant
every time.
Fucking time.
Yes.
Because it is markedly better.
There we go. It's that simple.
If I can make the ramen to a similar degree in my own home, why would I go?
There we go. And that's the fucking rub. Like, a lot of these, like, sauces, a lot of the broths are really good. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
Like, a good ramen broth? Come on. Mm-hmm. Delicious. I'm here for it. But if I taste a ramen broth and I'm like, I could have made this at home, it would take me 6 to 12 hours.
Yep.
But I could make this at home. I'm upset.
I have a soup pot now.
I have a giant, like, 10-liter pot I make.
I just bought one.
The
big
ones. This is cool. To make stock in.
Yeah.
That's what they're for. It's to make stock. If I can just recreate the thing you guys are making in your restaurant in my shitty Japanese kitchen, you're done messed up.
Yeah.
Because my kitchen, very shit. You've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's shit. So if I can recreate anything in that kitchen, you're done fucked up. Which is why I think that's why, like, all the ramen places lost their stars.
Right.
Not only that. 23 places lost their stars this year.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, Japan has been losing its Michelin stars like pretty steadily over time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure why that is.
Because
I don't feel like the quality has declined any.
Probably because they're not really doing anything different. Like, it's the same.
Maybe.
It's like the same thing.
I do feel that is true.
Yeah.
The Michelin guide likes to prop up like places that are doing something that's like
new and different. And
whereas I think that's just kind of diametrically opposed to the way Japan is.
Yes.
It's like it's very traditionalist, right?
Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of like stars you could give for like traditional Japanese like food and stuff, like a good sushi place. Like there's that one really famous one.
Jiro's.
I think they always get Michelin stars every year because it's like the
famous. I don't know if they have, though.
I'm not entirely sure, but like it's very like highly rated by everyone. Like,
right.
I get giving Michelin stars to these types of places that have always like done a sort of traditional, sort of very, very not too crazy, not very right. Exciting, not pushing any like envelopes, not pushing any seals, but it's still like just a traditionally good food. I can see the Michelin Guide giving a lot of those out, but how many can you give out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many of those stars can you really be dishing out?
Because there's a limit to how many they put out, right? Yeah. Like they can only choose so many places.
Yeah.
And I mean,
yeah, if I have a list of like 50 restaurants to choose from and three are ramen places, I know I'm making cuts.
Mm-hmm.
All at least two of these ramen places are going.
Right.
Why do I need three different ramen places on my list? Like, is it that good? Is it that different? Clearly not, since they all got cut, you know? I'm kind of on the side of the Michelin Guide for this one, honestly. I think it says in the 2014 Michelin Guide, all three ramen restaurants had no longer hold a star. However, they are recognized with a bib gourmand rating instead, along with 16 other ramen joints.
A bib gourmand.
Don't know what that is.
That's some French shit.
I don't know about all this French shit. Along with 16 other ramen joints, three of which are new entries in this year's guide. The three new bib gourmand ramen restaurants are Ramen Break Beats in Nakameguro. There is ramen in Suginami and Japanese ramen Gokan in Hitachi.
Right.
Okay, cool. And it just explains what these ramen places are. But like, what the fuck is bib gourmand,
Jamie? Bib gourmand. Do you want me to look it up?
Would you please?
Yeah, sure.
Jamie, could you look up bib gourmand?
Bib gourmand.
What the fuck is bib gourmand?
Is it like bib, like B-I-B, bib?
B-I-B, yeah. And then gourmand.
Yo, gourmand.
Thank you.
Oh, the Tokyo Bib Gourmand Michelin restaurants.
What
so,
is it?
There you go. I think Bib Gourmand is just like their here's your participation trophy, maybe.
Ooh, that's so painful.
Let me see here. Not quite a star, but most definitely not a consolidation prize. The Bib Gourmand, named after Bibendum, the friendly Michelin man, and the official company mascot for the Michelin, is a just as esteemed rating that recognizes friendly establishments that serve good food at moderate prices.
Lies.
So
clearly it's not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Right?
So,
no.
So yeah, let me see.
It sounds like a consolation prize, if I'm being perfect.
Since 1997, our best value for money restaurants offer a three-course meal. Here's what it is. The Bib Gourmand is that the place isn't getting
a star.
A star.
Lol.
But it is serving a meal that is equivalent to Michelin star, but is priced out of the fancy dining type, like, food.
Food,
right.
What the fuck? So it's basically like, oh, so what they're doing is they're making Michelin stars like fine dining things only, and the Bib Gourmand is more like your everyday works, man. You can get this meal.
Yeah, so like they actually give an example here.
That'd be good.
Of
a Bib Gourmand.
No, in it's called Edo Soba Hosokawa in Tokyo.
Edo Soba? I think I've been there. Go on.
Yeah, it's in Kamezawa in Sumidoku.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that's good.
So, it's a soba shop.
Yeah.
The price, though, is, like, low.
Yeah, it's like 1,000 yen.
It's I don't even think it's that much. It's less than that. Like, I wish I could go to the thing here, but it doesn't. But, yeah, like, it's rated, like, you know how on when you go on like Google or something and you look at a restaurant, it's got like the yen symbol for how much?
Yeah, it's
a 1 yen symbol place.
Jeez, fuck Christ. Okay, it's right. Less than 1,000 yen.
So holy less than 1,000 yen. Dude. So like that's like you can get, here's like a 5 to 6 dish meal.
Dude, come on.
For 5,000 yen. That's like a set meal. I assume that comes with your drink.
Yeah,
whatever. It's only served the whole on set Fridays. Thing.
Yeah, makes sense. I love there's one thing I love about Japanese cuisine in general. It's something a lot of people who come to Japan notice as well, where it's, you go to, like, let's say, soba. You go to a soba shop, and you're like, oh, I want, like, this, the soba lunchtime teshoku or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, the lunchtime set. I always find it really funny to, like, watch.
Oh, sorry. I was mistaken about what this is.
Oh, what is it, then?
It's not just eating the food. You're also preparing it. So each person,
I've not been here.
You make one ball. You get one ball or like 500 grams of buckwheat flour.
Oh, you're gonna make your own soba.
You just make your own soba from scratch.
send that. That's fun as fuck. But then Discord. That's cool as
shit. And it says like the Buckery Flower is the same that we use at the store.
That's cool as shit, dude.
And the owner, Mr. Hosokawa himself.
Hey, fucking Mr. Hosokawa himself?
He does the...
The cutting?
No. He teaches you how to do it. Like... go with the guy who owns the restaurant to learn how to make soba. Like, I can't think of anyone better to, you know.
That's so sick.
So, like, it's like, not only do you get a meal, but you also get a lesson. For 5,000 yen? That seems pretty fucking good.
That's pretty, that's pretty reasonable.
That's not bad.
That's a fun day out. Yeah. Then Discord. I guarantee there's someone in Discord who wants to make their own soba.
From what is it? 17 to 20. What's that it?
17 to 20?
5 to 10? Like time.
Oh, 5 to 8.
Yeah, sorry, 5 to 8.
There you go. Gotcha.
Can't math.
Don't worry about it. 5 to 8, that's pretty good. I'll do that 5 to the next 3 hours. That's pretty good.
There you go.
That's a good little course, actually. As a man who made soba part of when I was working with Tokyo Creative a while ago, we did like a whole soba thing. We spent like the afternoon making soba. It takes like 3 hours. It's a long fucking process, but very fun. Very, very, very
so
fun.
Happy. Look at him. He's,
happy. Oh, he's just so happy to be there.
There you go. He's so happy.
He's so happy to be. That's great. I like that one.
Right? Like, you know,
that's good.
You can. That makes sense. Like, why? But then you look at, like, some other places, like, you know, what the fuck? Nabe-no-ism.
Yeah, Nabe-no-ism.
Yeah, it's the name of a restaurant. It's got 2 Michelin stars.
2? Okay.
Yeah, it's.
Wait for Nab. Okay, go on. Go on.
It's a French place.
Okay.
But like the food is very like fancy French type.
Ooh la la. Right? Ooh.
But it also costs like a fucking shitload by comparison. So it's like, you know. Yeah, it's the Michelin star thing, like I've never really put much stock in it because good food is good food.
Yeah.
And I feel like try as they might, fine dining is there just to scam you. Because when you look at like how much you get versus price you're paying,
like, it's kind of insane.
You can jerk me off all day by telling me that, you know, the fucking salmon was flown in from wherever last night and blah blah blah, right? Like
the cows get to watch.
I don't care. Yeah. Is it good
or not?
And how much does it cost?
Connection to the point I was making before, exactly this. Like, when people come to Japan to get, like, a random lunch set in, like, a random soba store or whatever, they find themselves having what I've seen to be, like, the best meal they've had here. Like,
right.
The amount of people I've spoke to, and they'll be like, oh, I was in Kobe, and I had, like, Kobe beef, and it was Kobe beef, you know, they massaged the cows and shit. And I'm like, cool, what was your best meal in Japan? And they'll be like,
Yeah, it wasn't that.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Right? One of my boys who came here, they were like, I went to Kobe, got Kobe beef. It was really good. And then at the end of the trip, we met again. And I was like, yo, how was Kobe? How was Kobe beef? What was your best meal in Japan? Do you know what his best meal was?
Yeah.
Like a 500 yen fucking soba teishoku from a random fucking soba store that he doesn't remember the name of or the location of. He just walked into it because he was like, we're hungry and this place costs 500 yen. And he walks in and he's like, oh, this is the greatest meal I've had in Japan. And I was like, what made it so good? And he's like, well, the soba was handmade. Or like the tempura was handmade. Like the obashi just kept feeding us tempura. Like it was great. He's like, we paid for like a tempura soba set and we ate like maybe 20 pounds worth of tempura. And we paid like 500 yen. And I'm like, yeah, it's Japan. Yeah, that'll be your best meal.
That's the thing, right? It's just like you, if you're like, oh, Kobe beef, it's so really good.
Man, this is like... I know. I love how angry we get about food every fucking time.
It's not my issue. Like, I would love to have Chef come back on, Chef PK, and talk about like the difference between ingredients, like expensive ingredients and inexpensive ingredients, like the same thing, right? Like, obviously, you use like certain meats for different dishes, whatever.
Yep,
right?
Yep.
But like, I think that there is a level to where if I serve the layman, Kobe beef and regular beef, they're gonna be like, it's basically the same.
Yeah.
Or they're going to be like, I like the cheaper thing better.
It matches my palate more.
Yeah. Just because, like, usually something like Kobe beef, it's just, like, so fucking fatty. And it's like, I don't enjoy eating that.
Yeah.
So why would I pay more money for something I don't enjoy eating?
I've explained this. Same thing with sushi.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get messages sometimes on Instagram being like, hey, I want to do a sushi makase in Japan. And I'm like, dude, that's going to cost you, like, That's, like, $300. Why do you want to do that? Like, oh, it looks really cool. And you can just, like, get the chef just, like, make stuff for you. And it's an experience. And I'm like, yeah. I get it. Why do you want to do that? Do you eat sushi normally in your everyday, like, life? Like, back wherever you're from, are you just eating sushi casually occasionally? If the answer is, like, yes, if the answer is no, either way, what I'm going to tell you is start a Kaiten sushi. You start a Kaiten.
Yeah.
And if you're like, I can taste this is... If you start at Kaiten sushi and it blows you away, you are not ready for the crazy, like, $300 fucking dollar omakase sushi.
Right.
Because you're not gonna understand what makes it so much better until you travel that distance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't just be like, oh, I'm going to... Oh, I ate the omakase sushi. It was really good. It's like, yeah. We know it was really good. But you don't understand how fucking good that really good is. Mm-hmm. Like, even me today, I look at omakase sushi and I'm like, I've had this for work. Like, I've gone to this place for like an article, like a video or something. And I'm like, this is delicious. I can understand how good this stuff is, but there are certain sushi that I don't like just because I don't have the palate for it. Like uni. I don't like uni.
Yeah, me I don't like it either.
I'm a child. I don't like uni. But like, they're serving uni. They're being like, oh, this is like, this is hand-fed uni from the shores of Lake Uni Kama Shi Machi. It's really good. And I'm like, oh man, that exists. That's crazy, dude. Like, that's wild, bro.
Right.
And they put it in front of me and I'm like, yeah, it tastes like the fuck. It's disgusting. It tastes like the ocean. This is horrible. And everyone's like, wow, you can really taste the sea. And I'm like, it tastes like spunk. But it's like, get the shit out of my fucking face. It's just disgusting. Wait, how do you know? Moving on. It's gross. Like, yeah. Fuck, I don't want this, dude. But yeah, it's like that, basically. I agree with you.
Salty coins.
Yeah. Wow. Hints of depression?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm tasting?
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to taste buttery. It doesn't
taste buttery.
Sorry, like,
who the fuck's lying to you?
Just so many people are like, it tastes like butter. I'm like,
no, it doesn't.
It tastes like fucking salt. Are you dumb?
What's wrong with your mouth?
Right. It's one of those things where, like, I honestly believe uni is like beer in that nobody actually likes uni.
Agreed.
But everyone has been tricked into agreeing that it's good for some reason.
Oh, I agree.
So everyone just goes, I love it.
They're like half throwing up. So good. It's like, it's not. It's not, though. Like, I understand the levels. I'm like, there's some really bad uni. There's some good uni. For me, I'm like, same with beer. There's really bad beer. There's good beer. Either way, you're drinking beer. Either way, it just tastes like bitter copper water. I'm going to drink it.
Sure.
It's alcohol and I want to put it in my body. But apart from that, and I'm like, I'm not going to sit around and lie to you.
Right. Yeah. What I mean.
I'm not going to lie to you. I've had some really good beer. I've had some delicious beer.
Yeah, me too.
And it's delicious because it doesn't really taste like
beer.
Yeah.
Well, that's the fucking problem.
Exactly.
Right?
There we go. Yeah. Like, it's a really good new beer released by Echigo. The tiny brewery I like in Niigata.
Mm-hmm.
They released this pink can and it's beer, but it just tastes like a fruit cider. Like an English, I'll bring some next week. It's a week off. It's fucking delicious, dude. It's like elderberry and raspberries or whatever. It's sick. But yeah, stuff like that. Pretty sure.
Yeah, I will forever, until the day I die, be on the fine dining as a scam train.
No, I agree.
Forever.
I think it's kind of a scam. I'm not really down for that. Do you have a heart out today? Are you good for a little bit?
No, I'm good for a little bit.
Okay. Do you want to talk about...
We can at least talk about the last thing on this.
Okay, do you want to talk about the secret gambling addiction, or should we discuss police being dog shit?
We discuss police being dog shit every day. Let's talk about, because this is like big news.
It's about like recently. We'll save police being dog shit for next week. But for those that don't know, there's a very famous Japanese baseball player whose name is Otani.
Shohei Otani.
As a man who knows nothing about baseball, I'm gonna be asking David for help.
Shohei Otani. Well, do you know who Ichiro is? Ichiro Suzuki.
Yes.
Yeah. He's like the next generation Ichiro Suzuki, right?
From what I've read and seen online.
Or maybe even better.
Yeah. Because he can do like everything, right? He can pitch and he can bat.
Yeah.
And apparently that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
in my mind, I thought that's baseball. I was like, yeah, how could you not?
Yeah, but everyone has to do it, but not everyone does it well.
Ah, see, this is what I thought. I was like, of course you can do both. It's baseball. So people were like, wow, Ohtani, he can pitch and bat. I'm like, yeah, and I can walk on both my legs. The fuck are you talking about? Isn't that the point of the fucking game? Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? The rest can't do this? I was so confused until like I was reading online. I just like, yeah, so I'm just like pitching and like throw better than others. I'm like, yeah, I get that, but like, right? Like,
okay, but what else do you do?
Yeah, what is? Yeah. Anyway, fucking stupid. It's like being, oh, this guy's really good at stealing bases. Yeah, isn't that part of the game? Mm-hmm. Isn't that part of the game? It's like hiring a soccer player that's afraid of like spherical objects. Like, you wouldn't do that. Like, think about it. Right. Oh, we'll put him in goal. No, don't do that. Don't. He'll avoid the ball. Fucking say, oh, light went off. Anyway,
weird.
But there's a massive scam. Scam?
Not a scam. Scandal.
A scandal. There we go. There's a massive scandal currently happening where his interpreter, Mizuhara, one of his really oldest and bestest of friends, it seems like, maybe stole a bunch of Ohtani's money to pay off illegal gambling debt that he might have.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. The first, what I remember about the story, I think when it first came out, Ohtani's saying on the lines of he had lended the money to Mizuhara to pay off his own gambling debts. And everyone went, oh, that makes sense. But then after like the entire thing came out, the story changed to Mizuhara actually stole the money from Ohtani. So now people are thinking, okay, could this be a situation where the Shohei or Ohtani camp are releasing this story to separate, get some space between him and like the allegations?
Because
what might have happened is that people are theorizing that Mizuhara and Ohtani are in the same boat and they were both like gambling together on sports or whatever.
Right.
But apparently Ohtani isn't allowed to do that.
Yeah, okay.
Because of the contract he's on.
There's two reasons why.
You go on.
One, you shouldn't be, well, you shouldn't. I believe part of his contract stipulates that he shouldn't be betting on the sport that he plays.
Yeah, don't do that.
Typically, that's not good because you can rig the bets real easy if you decide, hey, I'm going to throw the game on Friday. I'll bet against myself.
What are you, a politician? Can't do that.
Right. So, number one, that's a no-no.
Yeah.
Number two is that he's currently signed to the LA Dodgers.
Yes.
The LA Dodgers are in California.
Okay.
California law states that their like sports betting is illegal.
That's right. Yes, I forgot about that.
40 it's other just... states, perfectly A-okay, but it happens to be the one that he lives and resides and works in. It's not cool.
It's not good. Don't do it. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's why I think a lot of people in California, if they want to do sports betting, they go to Vegas
because
it's everything legal in Vegas.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. Fuck me, dude. Show it. But yeah, okay. That makes sense. So going to this article, apparently Mizuhara was let go from the team on Wednesday. This is like the news article that came out today.
Right.
So he was let go from the team on Wednesday following reports from the Los Angeles Times and ESPN about his allegations tied to illegal bookmaking and claims from Ohtani's attorney that the two-way Japanese star had been victims of a quote-unquote massive theft. Which I think that if he was a victim of quote-unquote a massive theft, I'm like, that sucks, dude. You know? That's your boy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially like, fuck, in this situation, this isn't just like some interpreter that they hired, like the team hired to interpret for him, right?
This is like it's his like friend.
He's like childhood school friend, right?
Which is why,
suspect, right?
This is why it's suspect. Like, that's like me hiring, that's like Tyrone hiring me being like, oh, I'm going to live in Japan for a while.
And make a shitload of money.
Yeah. Can I come and pay you a shitload of money to like interpret me being like, yeah, sure. And then being like, oh, I'm going to steal his money. Like, it doesn't make sense. Why would I do that? Why would anyone do it? It doesn't make sense to me. That's why I'm like, ooh, suspicioso. Because if Tyrone turned around and he was like, hey, might have fucked up here. Can you take the blame? I'll bet your gang, easy. Easy. I'm not going to have you lose your career because of like some silly mistake you made. I'll take the blame. Easy. I don't mind doing that. I'm an interpreter. I'll go back to Japan. I'll get a new job. Pretty straightforward. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like, it's a little bit sussy, yeah, I don't like it. It's a little bit suspicious, if you ask me. Oh, yeah. But there's like a massive report. There's a massive investigation currently going on. But I continue to say that Major League Baseball has been gathering information since we learned about the allegations involving Shohei Ohtani and Ippei Mizuhara from the news media. The commissioner office said in a statement on Friday, earlier today, our Department of Investigations began their formal process investigating the matter. Mm. Do you think this is going to be like a, you know, when like police investigate themselves and they find no wrongdoing? Do you think it might be the same thing where like they're investigating themselves and they're like, we found no wrongdoing after a long investigation?
Yeah, it's weird. Okay, so like later on, it says that the IRS. Mm. Don't fuck with the IRS. But the IRS confirmed Thursday that Mizuhara and Matthew Bower, the alleged like bookmaker, so his bookie basically. Do you know how bookies work? I assume you know how bookies work.
The gambly things.
Yeah. Do you know what a bookie is though?
The guys you make bets through.
Yeah, basically. Booker, right?
Yeah.
So they're both under criminal investigation. Oof. From the Los Angeles field office, but they didn't want to comment on it yet. But the interesting thing is, like, this isn't the first time that this has happened as well.
Wait, Mizuhara?
No, just in general, like, kind of situation. Because I guess in 2008, following allegations from 2007, former Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell was talking about they seized the three-time MVP Alex Rodriguez. And if you know anything about baseball, Alex Rodriguez is famous.
Okay.
Three-time MVP.
Cool.
He was suspended in 2014, and more recently in 2022, another player, Dodgers pitcher Trevor Bauer, he got suspended for 194 games.
Holy shit!
So, if you
like
know
a
any,
year?
If you know any, yeah, longer than a year, 100.
Jesus,
I don't think
Christ.
I don't know how many MLB games do they play. How many MLB
do they play in a year? What a season.
162 games. So he got banned for an entire season and a little bit.
Wow.
So when you think about it, if you're on a contract where you're making multi-millions for a year, suddenly you're making zero, that's going to sting.
Oh,
like that's like lost revenue for you of like
millions
of dollars, right?
Wow,
so
that fucking sucks.
And then it's up to your team to say, yo, do we even want to keep you on the roster? And if they cut you at the end of that season,
you're fucked.
Now you're a free agent. And then if you can't find another team,
no.
Suddenly you're out of a fucking job.
But you're still fucked. They banned you for a season and a half.
So that means the team that does sign you
can't use you for half a season. No one's going to sign you.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
What a punishment. What do you do? That's crazy.
Right. So.
Oh. I just read what he did. Okay.
Also, Dan says, you also lose all of the money you gambled if it was in an illegal state. So even if you won, the IRS seizes your winnings.
The IRS don't fuck around. Are you serious?
So not only are you losing the money you bet, you're losing the money you won, and you're getting suspended and making no money.
Dude, what the fuck? Don't do crime. Don't do any financial crime in America.
It's just like it's mind-boggling. Where like, if you were doing sports betting, right, and you knew that some states had it was illegal in some states.
Yeah.
Why would you do it in that state?
Just leave the state.
Or like, why are you using a bookie in state?
Just put a bookie out of state. Just get another bookie out of state. It's not hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if this has anything to do with a guy like I don't know Mizuhara's upbringing at all, but like I feel like. Things like this, if it happened in Japan,
right?
It'd be like,
he made a statement. Mizuhara said, "I never bet on baseball. That's 100%. I knew that rule. We have a meeting about it in spring training."
Okay, so he's not bet on baseball. He says,
but it doesn't matter. It's any betting.
Right?
It doesn't matter.
Do you think maybe he thought that it's only baseball? Like he was like, as long as I'm betting on baseball, everything's gonna be a-okay. And he's betting like basketball and shit, and getting his like feet raked across the coals.
Yeah. Okay. So. The MLB gambling policy is posted in every locker room. Betting on baseball, legally or not, is punishable with a 1-year ban. Oh, wow. So legal or not, if you're doing any betting,
it's
punishable with a 1-year ban.
Holy shit. Oh, dude.
The penalty for betting on other sports illegally is at the commissioner's discretion.
Yeah, of course. That makes sense. Wow. So basically, like, no betting on sports.
Which is weird. Okay, so, like, there's a little bit of a weird... like situation here, right? Mm-hmm. Because Ohtani is signed to the team.
Yeah.
And Mizuhara is working for the team
via Ohtani.
Via Ohtani.
Yeah.
If he was just, if it's weird, because if he was hired by Ohtani to be his interpreter, there would be no issue.
Oh, there's no issue, yeah.
But because he's part of the Dodgers.
That makes sense, yeah. That's
why it's
fucked. That's why it's legal.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. So, I think he's cooked. I think it's Joe for him, honestly.
Yeah.
He might be done.
It's, I mean, he's fired already.
Like, he's fired already, yeah.
Fucked, so.
But now it's okay. Now it's like the internal investigation from the.
Right. Whether or not Ohtani knew that this was going on. And I have to imagine.
I mean, you would know. I because they changed their story, I think he knew, but the ramifications of him knowing is now right. That it's understood, they're like, ooh, maybe I
don't
didn't
know how he wouldn't know,
you know,
considering the amount of money.
Yeah.
Right? It was something like $4 million.
It was so much, yeah.
Like it was $4 million. A lot. Like you don't just go like, hey buddy, here's $4 million. Just have a good day.
No.
Right? Like that, like
no.
Even if you're like Ohtani, who's making like millions of dollars a season, just handing over $4 million, you don't just do that willy nilly.
That's $4 million fucking dollars. Yeah, no one does that. That's insane. Yeah. That's absolute insanity. $4 million fucking dollars. No. He knew. I think he knew, but he's like the best player currently, right?
Yeah.
So he knew 100%. But they've changed the story once already.
Yeah.
I think now it's going to be a case of just like covering it up. There's going to be a quote unquote internal investigation.
Right. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, the Dodgers paid a lot for Ohtani. They want him to play.
Yeah. They can't. After the internal investigation, I guarantee it's going to be like, oh, there was no crime. He had no idea. He was just lending money to a friend. He didn't say, like.
Which I wonder, like, the Dodgers may have. Like, here's what I think would happen, right? Just thinking logically about what I would do if I was the Dodgers, even though this might get me in more trouble.
In more trouble, yeah.
Is I would fire Mizuhara.
Straight away.
Pay him under the table, though, to take the fall.
100%.
Be like, oh, he did some illegal shit, whatever.
100%, yeah.
Pay him off, because you're gonna be better off as a team if Ohtani gets to play.
Yep.
100%.
100%. From what I'm seeing, 100%, yeah.
So you don't want him suspended for over like almost nearly 200 games a season and a half.
You're
especially
fucked.
When he hasn't even started the season on the Dodgers, right? Like he just came from the Angels to the Dodgers this season. So they're like, fuck. Like we paid all this money
and we can't even
to get him on our team. And then he gets immediately suspended. Like you'd be like, fuck
and
shit.
And this is why everyone's saying they think Ohtani did. He knew.
Yeah.
But the entire thing has to be, which makes sense to me. From all you've said, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I agree with the plan. You get Mizuhara to take the ball, you pay him under the table, and you just be like, hey, could you just like fuck off?
Because it doesn't seem, it doesn't seem like there is, there's jail time, right?
No.
There's going to be fines.
That from the IRS, yeah. They'll fine you. Maybe they'll take your winnings if you have any winnings. They'll take the money you bet on. You bet like any illegal money, and then it'll be like, okay, now fuck off. Basically, you're done. Get out of here, and that'll be it, I guess. Dude, what a man. I kind of feel bad for the manager of the Dodgers, who's hired what they thought was gonna be like this amazing player. He has no conflicts behind the scenes. There's no like allegations behind the scenes. He's like squeaky clean player. But again, it's a little expensive, but it's okay. He can hit the ball and he can throw it. That's great in baseball, apparently. And then first week scandal. Like, I think it kind of.
Yeah, fun. That's.
I'm probably going to end up like watching this story pretty closely. I don't know shit about baseball, but the drama alone is fucking juicy.
It's wild because it's been like a kind of a microcosm. Like, he's been like this huge figure in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
there was that whole
thing about him getting married recently and people are freaking out about that.
That's right.
And now he's in a fucking gambling scandal. Like, it's just like one thing after the next every. Right. Okay.
His credit score is going to be. Dan said his credit score is going to be cooked, dude. And I
probably
agree. Absolutely cooked. I feel bad for Ohtani. Poor boy. Hopefully he gets off scot-free and he can continue playing baseball. He's kind of, apparently, even apparently in Japan, there's been like a massive increase in like sales of like a Dodgers fan stuff. Shit.
Yeah.
Now that like I find it funny that a lot of Japanese people aren't fans of like Team A or Team B. They're fans of like the team that Ohtani is playing for.
Right. Yeah.
Which uh-huh. It's kind of fucking sick. So you know for a fact, like a lot of them are going to America to be like, we're here to watch the Dodgers. Like, how long have you liked the Dodgers for? It's like,
since Ohtani was on it.
Since Ohtani joined, boys. Yeah. Like, I'm paying tickets and booking season passes, my boy. Like, we're gonna watch our boy play. We're gonna support the guy.
Yeah.
I like that. Ah, dude. Fuck me. That's fun. Yeah, anyway. That's the drama for this week, my boys.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good one. Ugh. I'm in America next week.
Oh, right. Okay. So I guess next week we're just gonna call it.
We might have to go. I'm there from like Thursday until Monday.
Okay.
And then on Tuesday I'm in the office.
That being the case, like it's just not
it's impossible. Work. And
after that, like doing one during the week is gonna be impossible because I'm at work.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm at work.
So
no, in that case, we'll figure it out.
Probably next week will be a hiatus. So catch up on the episodes you've missed.
Yeah, might have to skip a week. Sorry guys. But I'll be back with American stories. I'm going to SakuraCon.
Gabugamesh!
So I'll be back with stories and memes. I'm gonna meet Chef while I'm out there because he's going to the anime con as well. I will definitely have some fun stories when I get back from America, and maybe some snatch. I want to get some of those little Reese's Reese's pieces.
I have some
the little candy things.
Yeah,
I'm about to raid David's kitchen, guys.
Yeah.
So I'll see you guys next week. Until then, stay healthy, stay safe. Don't do any financial crimes.
That's good advice.
Good night.
Bye. Bye.